In drawing near to Jerusalem and seeing this city, he wept over it. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. The picture of today's Gospel gives us our Divine Lord in a very soul-stirring, still divine, beautiful image. We see our Lord at his last solemn entry, so to speak, into Jerusalem, weeping over his holy city, drawing near to Jerusalem, and seeing the city, he wept over it, as we just heard in the Gospel. Now, as we remind you that today's Holy Gospel, the weeping of our Lord, was also read on August 1st in 1914, the beginning of the First World War, which would be the final overthrowing of the social order and then the preparation of the overthrowing in the church. And today, in the middle of our consideration, are the tears of our Blessed Lord over Jerusalem. Tears. The human heart has its own language, as you know, and sometimes we cannot express its meaning in words. At times, we must give expression to the sentiments and feelings of our heart, even with our tears. And we speak of tears of joy and of tears of sorrow. And the tears in the eyes of our Savior, and then later on in the history of the Church, the tears of its Blessed Mother, shows us the tender and the affectionate love of his divine heart for his own people. And it makes this picture of the weeping Savior so divinely beautiful. But we should not think of those tears in a too human way. Our Lord weeps over Jerusalem because he knows his own people will reject him. And then he says, "Oh, if thou hadst known, even thou in this thy day, the things that are of thy peace. But now they are hidden from thy eyes. For days will come upon thee, when thy enemies will dash thee to the ground, and thy children within thee, and will not leave one stone upon another, because thou hast not known the time of thy visitation." Christ sees the terrible judgment of God coming upon his blind people, the Jews. He recalls at this moment all he had done for them, but all in vain. It touches his sacred heart. He weeps. He gives vent to the feelings, so to speak, of his heart in tears of sympathy and loving compassion. Time and again he had said in his sermons, "Jerusalem, Jerusalem, how often would I have gathered together thy children as the hen does gather her chickens under her wings, but thou wouldst not." How terrible, how dreadful these little words sound from the lips of our Savior, "but thou wouldst not." That is the most dreadful thing Jesus, our future judge, could say of a soul or of a people, of a nation. But thou wouldst not. God judges no one. We are judging ourselves by our deeds. We are judged by our own conscience. Our conscience will be our accuser, our witness, and our judge. But thou wouldst not. It is a question as to how we have used our will. By our own free will, we can do either good or evil. We are either condemned or saved. And what more could Christ have done for his holy city, for Jerusalem, for his chosen people? The reprobation of the Jews was already foreshown by the prophet Isaiah in the Old Testament under the parable of the vineyard, and the prophet pronounces a terrible woe against the Jewish people when he says, O ye inhabitants of Jerusalem, what is there that I ought to do more to my vineyard that I have not done to it? I planted it with the choicest vines. I fenced it in. I picked the stones out of it. I built a tower in the midst thereof. I set up a vine press therein. I looked that it should bring forth grapes, and it brought forth wild grapes. Woe to you! I will take away the hedge thereof, and it shall be wasted. I shall break down the wall thereof, and it shall be trodden down. I will make the vineyard desolate. The vineyard of the Lord of hosts is the house of Israel. It seems almost, when we read these lines, he's talking about the revolution in the church. I will make the vineyard desolate, the vineyard of the Lord of hosts. Thus the prophet and Dante pronounces he terribly his woes against the Jews, but also against various kinds of sinners. What more could Christ have done for his vineyard, for his chosen people, the Jews? Jerusalem, Jerusalem, daily you heard his voice. He healed your sick. He took your children into his arms and pressed them to his loving heart. He raised your dead to life even. He preached in your temple and your marking place. He instructed and he warned and he threatened. But thou wouldst not. And several years later, St. Matthew writes his gospel in Hebrew primarily for the Jews. He repeats to them the words of the Savior taken from the prophecy wherein Isaiah had foretold the obstinacy and blindness of the Jews. For the heart of this people has been hardened, and their eyes have been closed. To this very day, of course, the words of the Savior are still true. The Jews Without temple, without altar, without sacrifice, and without the voice of God, the prophets. And even this new ecumenical church considers the Jews as our elder and brethren. In the eyes of God, they don't exist as a religion since Good Friday, because they rejected the Messiah. They have rejected God, but thou wouldst not, and therefore God has rejected them. But when we look at this gospel of the weeping of our Lord over Jerusalem, we should also reflect upon ourselves. Because every human soul redeemed by the most precious blood of the Savior and sanctified by his holy sacraments is a holy city of God, is a Jerusalem, and is weeping over this Jerusalem. And since we were born, the inexpressible chain riches of Christ have been ours in baptism, communion, and confirmation, and down to the last day of our life. What more could God done for his vineyard, for his city, for Jerusalem? We all must remember the words of St. Paul when he says, "By the grace of God, I am what I am." And how do we use the graces God offers us every day? We can be indifferent and careless. We can refuse those graces as so many did. It depends on us. When our Lord says, "Woe to thee, Bethsaida, for if in Tyre and Sidon had been wrought the miracles that have been brought in you, that long ago done penance in sackcloth and ashes." Our Lord is weeping over us. Our Lord is weeping over me. And if you remember in the Apocalypse, St. John writes to the Bishop of Ephesus, following, "I know thy works, and thy labor, and thy patience, and how thou canst not bear them that are evil, and thou hast tried them who say they are apostles and are not, and hast found them liars. And thou hast patience and hast endured for my name and hast not fainted. But I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love." How many have left their first love, their first zeal for God? It is time to return to this first love, at least for us. And today, we face this terrible crisis in the church, this terrible apostasy of the church. What has become of the church? What has become of those who once resisted the changes of Vatican II? Did they not also left their first love? And why? Why is this terrible crisis in the church? Our Lord gives us the answer today, but thou wouldst not. Many Catholics before the changes did not take their faith too seriously. Many bishops and priests did not take their office too seriously either. And thus, it was taken away from us. The church was eclipsed because thou wouldst not. Perhaps you have seen the picture on a holy card, Christ standing at a door knocking. And you should have a good look at such a picture, because the door has no knob and no handle on the outside. The door only opens from inside. It is our free will, of course, supported by grace of God, which will open the door to the heart of God. But it's still free will. Woe to thee, Bethsaida, our Lord says, and woe to you and woe to us, people and families and individual Christians. If our Savior will have to say to us, but thou wouldst not. Let us take a lesson today from these tears of our Lord, the weeping over Jerusalem. Jerusalem, the Jews, but also Jerusalem, us. Oh, if thou wouldst know, and that insist thy day, the things that to thy peace. Jerusalem, Jerusalem, O holy city of God, know the time of your visitation. Do not hide from your eyes the things that to thy peace. Recall from time to time the weeping of your Savior, the weeping of the Blessed Mother, that you don't waste the graces which are given to you by the mercy of Almighty God. God bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.